During this time of massive transformation in our world, one emerging trend is encouraging, that of intentional and important collaborations happening. In the spirit of true sustainability and putting your health first, one very special and critical partnership is happening in Arizona, and the result is strengthening patient care. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World, and I thank you for listening. Given the state of healthcare in our country up to and including right this minute, I am hard-pressed to think of another topic that would be of more interest than this one. Plus, this show is all about good news, which I crave. It's about a major collaboration yielding positive results. It's about putting your health first and about why collaborative medical care matters. To begin with, Tucson Medical Center is a single community hospital serving communities in southern Arizona. As a single hospital, it obviously does not have a large system of hospitals behind it. That has all been changing because of TMC partnering with the Mayo Clinic. With 4,500 physicians and scientists who focus on complex care, TMC now has access to the entire footprint of the Mayo Clinic. It gives TMC the ability to tap into the knowledge of one of the most progressive healthcare systems in the world without ever having to leave Southern Arizona. Let's talk now about how this joint effort came to be and about the impact for thousands of people who look to TMC for their care each day. I am very excited and would very much like to welcome our two guests today, Dr. Keith Cannon, Medical Director, Mayo Clinic Care Network, Southwest Region. And in his role, Dr. Cannon works on the development, coordination, and support of all provider relations and clinical outreach activities, including the Mayo Clinic Care Network. And Dr. Rick Anderson, who is the Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at TMC Healthcare. In his role, he helps ensure patients receive the highest standard of medical care and serves as a liaison between hospital administration and medical staff. Big areas of responsibility, many lives impacted by their work and leadership, and I am thrilled to have you both here. So thank you for taking the time. So Dr. Cannon, let's start with you. How did it all come about in the first place? Why did Mayo Clinic begin a network of intentional collaboration like this?
So Gina, thank you so much for the opportunity to discuss this, and I appreciate your introduction. I think you really set the stage for our conversation very well. I think the Mayo Clinic Care Network goes back really to the founders of Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic started with a father and two sons who were all practicing up in Minnesota. And the clinic has been around for, you know, we say about over 150 years if you go back to the father's practice. But his two sons were very focused on education and on training, and they developed this practice with a very excellent reputation back then, and it was kind of in the middle of the cornfields, and yet people would come from all over the world to be treated by them. But they had a tradition of traveling and going and learning from others, learning about new techniques and new treatments, and then also teaching. And so when they would travel, they would share their experiences and their knowledge and their surgical techniques. And in fact, for a time, the Mayo brothers both had homes in Tucson. And we have some accounts of, for example, one of the Mayo brothers showing up, I think, unannounced at Tucson Medical Center and making rounds. And they really loved to leave the wintry Northwest or the wintry Midwest in the winter and come down to Tucson. So we come from that tradition of sharing knowledge for the benefit of patients. And then we hit the more recent times in which we have seen a trend toward collaboration in healthcare. And we've seen a lot of rapid consolidation of hospitals and healthcare systems. And a lot of this has taken the form of mergers and acquisitions, where large healthcare companies come in and buy up hospitals and clinics, outpatient practices, and put them together in the name of efficiency. And I think as we looked at this, we realized that we, Mayo Clinic, needed to also collaborate more broadly. But we weren't sure that this kind of merger and acquisition was always beneficial for patients. And we saw that there was really value in shoring up and preserving independent hospitals that were that really had a mission to serve their community. So a hospital like Tucson Medical Center, which you described very well in your introduction, is there in Tucson serving their community, locally governed, collaborating with their local physicians. And the Mayo Clinic Care Network gives us an opportunity without ownership to collaborate more formally on behalf of patients.
And it, with the Mayo Clinic, which is, you know, it's what you hear when you have health issues or when someone you love has health issues. Here in Arizona, it's like, yeah, did he go to the Mayo Clinic? And I am a big fan of TMC and for very valid reasons, and a lot of it has to do with what good care the nurses take of the caregiver, and that would be me. So I understand that. But doesn't the Mayo also put a lot of focus on education and training, which is so critical in our ever-changing, rapidly expanding world?
Absolutely. You know, if you were to look at the logo, the brand of Mayo Clinic, there are three shields that are interconnected. And those three shields stand for patient care, education, and research. So Mayo Clinic is a not-for-profit organization, and any proceeds that come from our practices and other business activities are all invested back in those three shields. And so we have the largest educational program in the nation. We have medical school that has a presence in at our three academic centers in Rochester, Minnesota, here in Arizona, and in Florida. And we also have very large programs for training residents and fellows and scientists that are going to be pursuing PhDs in research. And all of that education and all of that research has a direct impact on the care of patients. If you look at medical research over the years, it takes many years sometimes for a new discovery to reach the patients on the front line of care. At Mayo Clinic, we really try to accelerate that translation of scientific knowledge to the bedside so that patients can benefit from what we know sooner.
And it's like it's a hopeful arena. A very good friend of mine, his daughter died from cystic fibrosis, and his younger daughter also has it. And I talked to him the other day, and he said they are very hopeful that there is actually going to be a cure. They're in trials, but a pill, literally, that will help extend his daughter's life. And that's the hope of all that the research that places like the Mayo Clinic does. So it's a very, you know, I take it personally when you say that, seeing it work in my life. So this is going to be funny because, like, I know Rick, and I'm calling you Dr. Cannon, so it's going to be Keith and Rick if you're both okay with that. I don't want to go back and forth.
Okay. I'm happy to respond to Keith.
I love it. Thank you. So, Rick, TMC really has remained steadfast in resisting any kind of consolidation and has turned down offers from larger companies. And it is now Tucson's only locally owned community hospital. And as a champion of all things local, I can only hope it stays that way for generations to come. What was the hook or the motivation for TMC to move forward with such a major collaboration? What was going on that was so interesting and important to TMC?
Yeah, for us, I think the concern is, I mean, part of it's financial when you decide to go on merger, but the other part is also, how do you grow clinically? Sometimes when you're a single organization, you tend to struggle a little bit because you're always looking at things with the same eyes. For us, not having a big brother or another hospital that we could go look at to see how they do things really, I think, could sometimes stifle our innovation. So for us, who better to partner with than a group of hospitals like the Mayo Clinic? I don't care where you look, the Mayo Clinic ranks number one or at least in the top 10 in any rating system for hospitals and healthcare systems that you can possibly look at. And that goes for patient experience as well. For us, those are the things that we really want to focus on is clinical quality and patient experience. And for us, trying to tie into an organization like Mayo to help us achieve those goals and to get close to where they're at, to me, is just a huge opportunity that you can't pass up. And being right down the road is also a huge benefit for us.
And to be aligned and have this relationship with one, what I think is one of the most progressive healthcare systems in the world, the part for me is so critical is that some of these patients, they never have to leave Tucson. So there's a financial piece to that. There's a time off work to that. It's a burden for many people to have to do that, and elderly. So for being able to get the quality of care with a combination of skills from both TMC and Mayo, it's a really win-win.
You're right. But again, having Mayo so close, I think part of that doing the e-consults with Mayo Clinic, you know, it's one of the things that probably hasn't caught on as strongly here just because we are so close to the Mayo Clinic. And a lot of patients will probably just want to go up there at least once they consult. So, and I think a lot of our physicians feel the same way that, hey, I don't know if I need the e-consult, Rick. Why don't I just send them up to Mayo? They're only an hour and a half, two hours away.
That's a great opportunity because it feels better too as the patient sometimes. So I'd like to ask both of you, did you have anything more to add? I don't want to interrupt.
No, I didn't.
Okay. So, Keith, from the Mayo perspective, I like to get into the how, because it had to be a rigorous acceptance process to ensure alignment with healthcare institutions that are interested in participating. So can you talk about how you determine from the Mayo perspective what a good fit looks like for you and how you determine that?
Sure, I'd love to do that. So we started the Mayo Clinic Care Network in 2011. We didn't really set out with any particular growth plan, and we didn't have any clear idea of how many members we would want or where the members would be, although we imagined at the beginning that the members would cluster around our three destination medical centers in Minnesota, Arizona, and Florida. But we found that with modern ways of communicating and electronic ways of securely transferring patient information and so forth, that we've been able to have a broad geography. So currently we have around 45 members. Most of them are domestic, although we also have members in Mexico and Asia and the Middle East. And we have mostly grown through word of mouth. We haven't been very, very active in trying to sell other medical centers on becoming members of the care network. And when we look for members, we're looking for hospitals and healthcare systems that really share our values. So the primary value at Mayo Clinic is that the needs of the patient come first. And so we're looking for organizations like TMC that we believe share that value. We're looking for organizations that employ evidence-based practices, so they're really looking for the treatments, the surgeries, and so forth that have the best evidence at any given time to benefit patients. And we're looking for organizations that are focused on quality and on the patient experience. We can all improve. Mayo Clinic can improve, and so we're looking for medical centers that are interested in that. Any potential member goes through a due diligence process, and this is pretty rigorous. We get to know a potential member very well before they join the network, and they share information about their finances and their business practices and their clinical outcomes and quality measures, and we send a team on their campus, and we review all of these things, and we make sure that there are, aren't any red flags, and on the opposite side, that this is a very high quality organization. And then this information goes through several toll gates in our organization at the level of our board of governors and board of trustees for approval before we can go into negotiations and have them join the network.
I was thinking about what that process must be like. And Rick, you were on the receiving end of that process. And I know that a lot about TMC and their leadership, and you are certainly not afraid of healthcare Goliaths. What made you and your team decide to move forward with Mayo in terms of the process you had to go through? Were you feeling a lot of the same things of shared values? But what was that like through the lens of TMC?
And TMC for a while had left the Joint Commission as an accrediting organization. And for me, going back to the Joint Commission and being accredited again was kind of an important step to say, hey, get somebody from the outside to look at what we're doing and how we're doing our processes and where can we improve. And that's a really similar, I think when Mayo came down here, it felt a little like a Joint Commission survey. They really wanted to look at our processes, how we take care of patients and how we set up the way we do things to make sure we don't make mistakes. And if we do make a mistake, what do we do to make sure we don't do it again? And for me, it's kind of a great way to test yourself and find your weak points, to have somebody come in and look under your hood to determine where you have opportunity to improve and grow, but also kind of affirms that maybe some of the things you're doing are pretty good. So for us, it was kind of an exciting time, even though you never like to have an organization to come in and really look under your hood carefully with a big flashlight. But for us, it was also exciting to have an organization like the Mayo Clinic come down here and give us that feedback. So having that shared culture and shared values to us was, I thought it was, and I'm kind of a weird guy, I thought it was fun. So
I get it. And there had to be, there's something about even the alignment of personalities. And I've heard that, you know, you have to know if you're all going to be able to work together. So that's a component too. And I agree with you about somebody looking from the outside can have a clearer picture at times. So I'd love to get into a little bit more detail about what the Mayo Clinic offers and how it actually works. And I understand that the overall goal is to ensure care close to home at no additional cost to patients. So how do you achieve that, Keith? What kind of tools help you achieve those goals?
There's a whole package of products and services that come with membership in the Mayo Clinic Care Network, and maybe I might mention a few of them specifically just to give you an
idea.
That
would be great.
So Rick referred to this idea of an e-consult, and I should say that most of the products, the tools that we offer, are tools that we have developed internally for our own practice and are tools that are used by Mayo Clinic clinicians on a daily basis. So the e-consult is one of those tools. We wanted to be able to expedite specialty opinions for patients who needed them. And we realized that in some areas, in some specialties, there was such a long waiting list for the patients to get in that maybe we could do something a little more quickly. So we developed the e-consult where, for example, I'm an internist, I'm a hospital-based internist, and I have a patient, let's say we find that there's something unusual in their blood counts, in their lab work. And it's not so urgent that I feel like they need to have that taken care of in the hospital, but I would like him to see a hematologist. And so I can ask for an e-consult, the e meaning electronic, and the patient's laboratory information and my notes and all the clinical information is sent to a hematologist who, without having to have the patient there in their office, can review all of that information and then give me as the frontline physician some advice. You know, does the patient need more testing? Is there some other treatment that should be considered? Or am I right on target with what I'm doing with the patient? So we took those e-consults and we've extended them to all of the physicians affiliated with the members of the care network. So for example, in Tucson, at Tucson Medical Center, any of the physicians down there who have privileges and practice with Tucson Medical Center could request an e-consult. This doesn't necessarily mean that they're not a good physician who knows what to do, but we all need help sometimes, and at Mayo we have the opportunity of having very highly specialized physicians. And so rather than, for example, just there being a cancer specialist, there may be somebody who specializes just in kidney cancer or just in cancer of the GI tract. And so a physician in the care network could say to their patient, well, why don't we get an opinion from a Mayo Clinic specialist, but then we have a way to do this without you having to get an appointment and go up to Scottsdale or Phoenix. And all of that clinical information is packaged and sent electronically through a secure portal to Mayo Clinic. That can include CT scans or other images. Sometimes if there's a biopsy that's important to see, that tissue is sent up to us for our pathologist to review and confirm the diagnosis. And then the Mayo Clinic specialist goes over all of that information. Sometimes that involves a phone call back to the requesting doctor, and then they generate a formal opinion that's written, and it becomes part of the patient's chart. A lot of times those are confirmatory, and we just confirm that we think what's going on is right on target, and that can give the patient a lot of peace of mind, and they don't have to travel for that opinion. Sometimes we do have some suggestions to make. And so that's one of the tools, and I should add that the patient isn't charged for that at all. That's part of the relationship that Tucson Medical Center has invested in on their behalf. Sometimes patients are hospitalized and they need more urgent information, and so a hospital-based physician at Tucson Medical Center could phone Mayo Clinic and talk to the specialist up here who could help them. And so that's a very patient-oriented tool that we offer. We also have a large library of printed and digital patient education materials, and we give those to the members of the network, and they can give those to their patients to help with patient education. Another example is an online repository of clinical information that we call Ask Mayo Expert, and we offer that access to that same repository to our physicians in the care network. So, for example, this morning I was teaching second-year medical students. We were talking about pancreatitis, and I said, well, let's look at how we manage pancreatitis. And so we went on to Ask Mayo Expert and searched for pancreatitis, and we got this whole flow chart of how does Mayo Clinic take care of patients with pancreatitis. And that same information could be used by anybody in the care team at Tucson Medical Center or any member of the care network. We also offer participation in some of our boards, like tumor boards, where there are multidisciplinary discussions of very challenging cancer cases, and members of the network can submit their challenging cases to those boards. And maybe one more example, and Rick will probably have some examples of this, is healthcare consulting. So the members of the care network can have consultation with our subject matter experts. And this could be almost anything. It could be an administrative project. It could be a clinical project, nursing, a new service line. We consider that there's almost nothing that we're doing at Mayo Clinic that's too proprietary to share with members of the care network. And I'll give you an example that from fairly early on in our relationship with Tucson Medical Center. It's kind of a gross thing to think about, but there's a common infection called Clostridium difficile, which causes inflammation of the colon and can make patients very sick. And we've discovered that one of the ways to treat that is actually to transplant healthy stool into the colon of the sick patient. And we had a whole protocol for that and a whole system to do that safely. And specialists at Tucson Medical Center wanted to start that. And so we basically just gave them all of our protocols so they wouldn't have to start from scratch so that they could establish their own program. But Tucson Medical Center has been very active in utilizing healthcare consulting.
And that's just so incredible that you have the world at your fingertips in terms of the medical information. So, Rick, as I was prepping for the show and doing my research about the collaboration, one of those timeless phrases kept popping into my head, and it was the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. When you look at this relationship, what are some of the benefits you have seen as a result of it? Because you're one of the parts, but it's really the sum that is helping to benefit everyone. So what have you seen so far?
Yeah, Keith outlined all of that really well. I think Ask Mayo Expert is a great tool, especially when it hooks right into the electronic health record. So a physician doesn't have to jump out of the electronic health record if he's trying to ask a question on that patient he's currently caring for. He or she could simply just click on the Ask Mayo Expert link and go right to it. If he wants a question on pancreatitis or any other illness, he can look very quickly and get the answer. The answer's at his fingertips. So for me, hooking that into the electronic health record has been really, really key for our physicians to use it here in the hospital and on the outpatient side as well. For me, one of the big things that the Mayo Clinic does is leadership development. So as a member of the Mayo Clinic Care Network, we have opportunity to go and learn, whether it's up in Scottsdale or in Minnesota, with other members of the Mayo Clinic Care Network and with faculty at Mayo Clinic regarding leadership development, especially when you're talking about physician leadership and operational leadership in the hospital. So Mayo Clinic has worked with us and how we can better develop that. And then finally, lately, for us, and this is Judy Rich, our CEO, is really focused as our top priority is really quality. And what does quality mean for a patient? And what we really settled on as how do we reduce preventable harm to a patient? How do we make sure that a patient comes into our hospital and leaves better? And that nothing, no errors occur to that patient that would interrupt or possibly impact that patient's care during their hospital stay. And we asked Mayo to come down and really help us develop, and I always hate to say action plan, but really how do we develop our culture, our organization, so we become an organization that really is focused on patient safety and zero preventable harm. And they've worked with us probably the last 6 months to really help us develop that. And they have something that really resonated with our organization called their 5 safe behaviors. And Keith could talk about it better than I can. But for Mayo, it's 5 things that everyone in that organization truly concentrates on to make sure that whatever they're doing it always for the patient. And for us, I think for our leadership team, that really resonated to the point where we're working on our own 5 safe behaviors and what those would mean for our staff and how we can better care for our patients. So,
Keith, go ahead. I'd love to know
I'm done. I was just going to say, that it's just been a great relationship. And really, the folks at the Mayo Clinic, and Keith's been one of the main guys that I'm always connected with, but just a wonderful group of individuals to work with. So,
Keith, do you want to tell us about the 5 safe behaviors and how that does support the approach to quality? Because I, for one, would love to know that answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So if we go back to 1999, the Institute of Medicine published a report called To Err Is Human. And what they discovered in that report, if they looked nationally across hospitals in the United States, is that as many as 98,000 people died in hospitals every year as a result of preventable medical errors. It was a very shocking report that came out at the time. And people began to realize that hospitals were not paying as much attention to the details that would prevent these kinds of things from happening. We weren't, caught up with, say, NASA or even a commercial airline pilot that had very important checklists to make sure that everything that was done before they would take off, or, even like the nuclear energy industry that has very important checklists. And so we realized that there was a need to improve quality in hospitals across the country. And so, Mayo is always trying to improve as well. Mayo Clinic is. And I think one of the things that distinguishes Mayo Clinic from other, even very highly rated academic medical centers, is our ability to work in teams, in multidisciplinary teams of physicians, whether they be general doctors or specialists and nurses and pharmacy techs and so forth. And so we've really very intentionally sown this culture of quality and patient safety and patient experience at every level of our organization. So it's not just the doctors who are focused on this, or not just the nurses, but it's the physical therapists and the social workers, and even the the people on the front lines, the receptionists at the desks and so forth. And so we, several years ago, codified this in our commitment to safety. And we decided for our organization that there were 5 safe behaviors that everybody would understand. A lot of people people have a little card on their name tags that remind them. And sort of the overarching philosophy of these safe behaviors is that if we're taking care of a patient and that there's a problem or something we need to take care of, the person on the team at that moment who has the answer to that problem or the solution is the most important person. It doesn't matter if they're this very famous surgeon or the tech in the operating room, that person at that moment is the most important person. So our five safe behaviors, and I'll just go say them very quickly, but you can see how they relate to this philosophy, are: first, pay attention to detail. Second, communicate clearly with each other. Third, have a questioning and receptive attitude. Fourth, hand off effectively. And fourth, support each other. And so we need to make sure that nobody feels like they would be criticized if they pointed out that there was a problem or that we needed to change course or do something differently than we were doing.
And what guidance for in terms of impact and being able to feel that? And, Rick, I guess I want to ask you, have you seen measurable results in terms of like your rankings? I know that hospital rankings come out in terms of medical excellence as a result of this partnership.
Yeah, Leapfrog is an organization that's been ranking hospitals, I don't know, probably the last 10 or 15 years, and they use letter grades, and recently we upped to a letter grade of a B. We'd love to be an A like Mayo Clinic, but a B is getting where we want to be. And then another organization, a ranking organization called CareChecks, and again, they typically use data that's publicly reported, most of it's through Medicare, but they ranked us the market leader in overall medical excellence as a hospital in the state of Arizona, which we thought was pretty cool, because I think it was the one time we may have beat Mayo Clinic on that.
There's always a little healthy competition.
But I think they beat us just about everywhere else, but that was, to me, that was exciting, and really, it was helped by, and we still have a long way to go on our journey because it's not a journey that you accomplish in 6 months, but it really is trying to build that culture of safety with everybody, and Keith talked about it. Every employee in the organization is focused on that. And for us, you look at an organization like Mayo Clinic with such well-known physicians and practitioners in the organization. We can't have staff afraid to stop the line if they see something that they feel isn't safe. And I think that's the kind of culture Mayo's developed, and that's something that we want to do the same.
And I'm really interested in both of your perspectives in terms of how this relationship continues to evolve, because obviously the perspective of community practitioners is vastly different from the experiences of practitioners at the Mayo Clinic. It's just not the same when you're serving an entire community, locally owned hospital. What kinds of things have you seen? And I guess my question is, the short end of what I want to know is it a dialogue, or is it there's the teachers and the students? Is it a sharing of knowledge and expertise? And has Mayo Clinic been enriched because of this partnership? I'd love to ask that question.
Yeah, if I might, this is Keith, I might start with that. I think that's a very important question to ask. And, you had mentioned earlier, Gina, sort of this idea that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And I think that definitely applies to the Mayo Clinic Care Network. And so this isn't, like Mayo Clinic, like Prometheus giving fire to primitive man. we are working with colleagues who are distinguished in their own right and serving their communities. And one of the things that we do in the Care Network is we facilitate interaction among members of the Care Network. Some of that interaction is formal. So, for example, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be bringing people that have roles like Rick's role and chief nursing officers and chief operating officers together in a symposium to share best practices. And sometimes this interaction is less formal. So we'll take one member that has a project or an issue that they're trying to address, and we know that another Care Network member has really done some good work in that area, and we'll put them together so they can learn from each other. So we talk about the power of the network. network. And I think we all strengthen each other. And that does include Mayo Clinic learning from some of the practices of our members. We are certainly not above learning and improving. And so I think it has enriched Mayo Clinic to interact with these colleagues.
And I know one of the really key areas that TMC is so known for and has specialized in is oncology. And all they do around that and their treatment and care of cancer patients. Is that one example where it could be mutually beneficial for Mayo, or was it a sharing?
Yeah, you know, for me, and I'll own up. I'm a cancer survivor, I had surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester when I used to live in Illinois. So I have firsthand experience with cancer care at the Mayo Clinic. Gosh, I guess it's been 13 years now. For TMC, And we're more of a partnering with physicians more than employing, which is something different. Mayo tends to employ most of their physicians while we partner with individuals here in the community. I think for us, when you do that, it sometimes is a little bit more of a struggle to gather all those experts, especially all those cancer experts, whether they're radiologists, surgeons, or oncologists together to truly treat cancer together. In a unified, somewhat cohesive fashion, rather than do it one doctor at a time. And I think that's one of the things that we really tried to learn from the Mayo Clinic is how can we build a better cancer program here in Tucson. That not everyone has to go to the Mayo Clinic for cancer care. People want to be treated locally, and how can we do that better with an independent medical staff? That needs to work together a little bit better to be a little bit more cohesive for the patient, so the patient truly gets cared for in a very efficient manner.
And a kind of a segue to that, this collaboration to me is all about using the collective brain power and knowledge base for the patient. The patient is the winner. In this entire collaboration, that's where the focus is. And I'm curious, how does it work from the TMC end? Does the physician, is it physician directed, or can a patient say, you know, I would like this to be have a consult with the Mayo Clinic? How does it work in such a large system?
I'll speak as a physician and a patient. I would hope that most physicians would think it's the patient's making the decision or the ask, but often it's a physician that helps educate the patient on what are their options,
right?
What can they have done, and you really truly have to be focused on each individual patient. And for us, we have to place our egos aside sometime and realize that some patients have very particular, very difficult, very rare cancers that may be best served at an organization like the Mayo Clinic, where they're much more attuned and they see so much more of that than, say, a Tucson Medical Center. Tucson Medical Center does most things very, very well, but for us, we have to be set that pride aside sometime to say sometimes we might need help, and you need to talk to patients to make sure that they truly understand, here's your options and here's where I think you may be best served.
Keith, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I might just say that we recognize the excellence that exists at Tucson Medical Center. And through the CARE Network, we do not intend to disrupt the organization down there. We do not want to disrupt the referral patterns among colleagues. We recognize that patients receive very good care down there. But as Rick says, sometimes there is a need for very highly specialized care that just it wouldn't be efficient to have that in every community and every hospital, and so we can offer that. You know, for example, we have a proton beam therapy unit here, which is a very special kind of radiation therapy. Not all patients need that. In fact, most patients don't, but there are some patients who could benefit from that. And so our relationship with Tucson Medical Center would help patients to be aware of that and make educated decisions about which treatments they would pursue.
And it really just screams cost savings, which everybody has to be aware of in this world. I mean, so you have the machine or the protocol or whatever, and for a smaller community hospital to be able to purchase that or any other myriad of equipment would be, in my sense, cost prohibitive. So there's the benefit because you can do it and you can treat that patient. So it's like the trifecta of all good things. So my last question to both of you, because I always like to do this, I always like to know about the personal experience for both of you. You've mentioned the benefits about, you know, better patient care, patients in Tucson not having to travel. So I guess I'd like to know, were there any surprises for either of you in the process or things that came up that you didn't anticipate, you know, unforeseen paths that you're now able to take as a result of this effort or any like personal experience you have? And Rick, you said you're fun and funny. What do you both want to say about the personal experience on this journey, which is intense and important and impactful, but I like to get a personal perspective.
Yeah, do you want to have a start?
I'll go first, Keith, and then you can fill in. For me, and there's probably two or three of us here at TMC that are probably more involved with this relationship than anyone else, and I get to be one of those people. So for me, and again, being a lone community hospital surrounded by big systems, having the ability to call my friends up at the Mayo Clinic about a patient or a need that I have or some advice and have them pick up the phone right away and almost bend over backwards to try to help me or help the patient that I'm trying to help out has just been, you know, they don't have to be that nice. They're the Mayo Clinic, but they are.
And, that's a great story.
And they're, for us, it just makes us, it makes us feel like part of their system. They've just, talk about responsiveness. I've never seen a group of people so responsive as our partners up at the Mayo Clinic Care Network. So it's been a great experience.
I love that
so
answer. What do you have to say, Keith?
About personal things. I mean, I personally am very interested in the success of Tucson Medical Center. I'm an Arizona native. I was born and raised in Phoenix, but my family goes back to the territory days of Arizona. And as an undergraduate, I went to the University of Arizona and met a young woman who was born in Tucson Medical Center who became my wife. So they played already an important role in my life.
Very close to home.
Yes, very close to home. But, you know, you talked, Gene, I think you mentioned earlier in the conversation about the importance of personalities and people working together. And I think from our very initial conversations with the leadership at Tucson Medical Center, I felt that sense of fit and sense of alignment. So, you know, Judy Rich as a CEO is very enlightened, and I respect her a lot and really think she keeps the patient at the center of that whole enterprise. And then working with Rick Anderson and then Susan Willis, who's another administrative support for this relationship, I think that we've really felt a great collegial collaboration with them. And you know, I feel like as we kind of look at the members of the Care Network in Arizona, I feel this unity, and I really feel personal responsibility, you know, having visited with these folks in Tucson and really wanting to make sure that Mayo Clinic steps up and delivers what we have promised, you know, in behalf of our colleagues and the patients that they take care of. And I think we've seen that on a number of fronts. So for me, it's been a very enjoyable interaction, and I hope for them too. And I believe patients have seen benefit.
And I always am so relieved when I ask a question that really wasn't necessarily top of mind for everyone. And those were pretty amazing answers and just affirm everything that this is about. So a few closing thoughts from me. If we can't create a healthy population, if we can't care, if people can't care for their own physical, mental, and emotional health, how then can we expect them to invest in or even care about a sustainable and socially just planet? To me, the answer is we can't. The collaboration between Tucson Medical Center and the Mayo Clinic is a win, win, win. The people who need highly specialized care win. The staff involved in this partnership win through the sharing of knowledge. And our community wins because our healthcare system is stronger, smarter, better. Having spent quite a bit of time at TMC lately, I can personally attest to TMC's commitment to their mission of caring for this community. So on behalf of the Mrs. Green's World team, thanks to all of you for listening and for being a part of our world. And to Doctors Cannon and Anderson, thank you for your thought leadership and for helping to make this collaboration happen, and also for helping to make it keep on moving it forward. I appreciate it. I'm sure the thousands of patients who are impacted by it do. So thank you both for taking the time and for your wonderful answers. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Really appreciate it. Thank you.